question is for the more senior folks over here. How many of you remember the Baltimore Catechism? Anybody? Quite a few people. The Baltimore first published in 1891. Has 300 pages to it. And the entire catechism is question and answer format. And boy, people knew these answers, especially the first chapter like that. So I'm sure this will come back to you. The first question in that Baltimore Catechism is, who made the world? Everybody should know this, but people who know the Baltimore Catechism will know this better. Here's the sixth question, okay? Why did God make you? You ask today's generation, 50 years from now, catechism questions, nobody will know it. But people who've done the Baltimore Catechism will. Listen, the answer, the complete answer to that question is, God made me to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him in this world, and to be happy with Him forever in heaven. Did you hear that? God made us to be happy. When you think about that, I just want to breathe. Because we don't normally associate God with happiness. More people associate God with fear than with happiness. But in 1891, the Catholic Church was teaching that God made us to be happy with Him forever in heaven. Now, if you reflect a little more deeply on today's parable, the parable of this man who was thrown out of the feast because he didn't have a wedding garment, we may not think that God is about happiness, but believe me, even that parable is about God's intention for us to be happy. So what I want to do this morning with you is to reflect on the parable of this wedding feast. But I would like to do this keeping in mind God's intention for God's people to be happy. So let me begin with my first point about the feast. That first reading from Isaiah is an invitation to a feast. And just for the sake of emphasis, may I repeat just the first few sentences from that reading. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a feast of rich food and choice wines, and as if it's not enough, juicy rich food and pure choice wines. And why? What's the reason for this feast? Isaiah says, this is the Lord for whom we looked. Let us rejoice and be glad that He has saved us. So the reason for the rejoicing and the gladness and the feasting is because God's people have seen the Lord as the Lord who saves. Too many people think of God as this very stringent taskmaster. And perhaps parables like we have in today's gospel reading make people think that God is the stringent taskmaster. The contrary is true. If there's anything that God wants for us, it's to be happy. Everything that God ever created, everything that God ever said, all the laws and commandments that God ever gave, all the prophets that came to speak to us on behalf of God, and the fact that Jesus Himself came was so that, as the Baltimore Catechism teaches, that we might be happy with God forever in heaven. The real point of the parable of the wedding feast, really, is an invitation for us to be part of God's happiness. But the parable tells us that this reality is also true, that some people choose not to be happy. You know, I was thinking, How happy must somebody be to take a gun and shoot down 58 people? What is going on inside that person for somebody to commit an act like that? We don't know the reason, but we know that sin is a choice against happiness. Tell me if there's one person here who, after committing a sin, said, "Man, that felt good." We don't. We have remorse. We have sorrow. So sin, too, is an option against happiness. Let's come back to the case of this man with the wedding garment. What shall we say about the man who was thrown out into the darkness? Why was he thrown out? Especially since the king had asked his servants to invite whomever they found. Now, there are pages and pages written about this particular passage. Much ink has been spilled. We cannot understand this passage without understanding the historical and socio-religious context. I cannot do that unless we have a whole class on it, but very briefly. Only Matthew includes that portion about this guy being thrown out. Luke's parallel passage ends with the invitation, the second invitation, and everybody coming and having a great time. So scripture scholars tell us that most probably Matthew was combining two parables, and we don't know why. And that most probably Matthew had put this together with an intention in mind, but we do not know. The second thing we have to remember is the destruction of the temple. When Matthew wrote this gospel, the temple of Jerusalem was completely destroyed by the Romans. So this reference to violence, this king goes and destroys a city and burns the city, that's a reference to the destruction of the temple. And thirdly, Matthew is also trying to understand how come the leaders of Israel, who were supposed to accept Jesus' invitation, refused the invitation. And so the original people who were called to the feast were the leaders of Israel, and they did not respond. And so the invitation is sent to everybody else. So at least let's remember that much for the parable. Now, coming to the guy who was thrown out. Why was he thrown out? I think the key to understanding this parable is the fact that this is a wedding feast. Now, there are at least two families that have a baptism today, right? And probably there is a little party happening at the end of it all. I hope so, that you're celebrating a little bit, right? Or think about a wedding. We've all been to a wedding. Everybody who goes to a wedding feast goes because they love the couple. And they want to celebrate the spirit of the event. Nobody goes to a wedding with hate in their hearts. Because it's a celebration of love. If you have hate in your heart, it's good not to go for a wedding feast. Because you're going to hurt. Nobody goes to a wedding because they dislike the couple or they're angry with the couple. In other words, to go to a celebration of love with hate in your heart is incompatible with the spirit of the celebration. When God invites us to be happy, when God invites us to be at his feast, there are some things that are simply incompatible with God. So, for example, we can't go into God's presence having hate in our hearts, with unforgiveness, with the desire for revenge, with prejudices, with selfishness and self-centered, because these things are simply incompatible with God. So you can't go into God's presence and say, "God, I love you, but I don't love these people because they are not like me." You can't go into God's presence and say, "God, I love you, but I will never forgive that person." It's simply incompatible with who God is. You cannot be in God's presence and do the opposite. In other words, anybody who is in God's presence has to have a wedding garment. And the wedding garment is Christ-like love. That's the wedding garment. The man thrown out of the wedding is meant to let us know that ungodliness is incompatible with godliness. It's not that God throws us out, but sometimes we exclude ourselves from being in God's presence. You can't go into God's presence with hate. You can't. We will find ourselves excluded from the feast. Thirdly, happiness is not just about our place in heaven. I want to get us back to the feast. In the Bible, eternal life is compared to a feast of best food and drink, as we heard. Every one of us has an invitation to eternity. Every person is called into eternity. But today's parable raises the simple question: on the day we show up at the feast, the day we land up at the feast, how will God find us? When we actually stand in God's presence face to face, what garment would we be wearing? Would there be anything in us that is incompatible with who God is? On the other hand, happiness is not just about when we die. In the Our Father, we pray, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." God wants us to be happy also in this life. If all of us wore the garment of love, of Christ-like love, if we all had the wedding garment on, don't you agree this world would be a better place? The parable teaches us to seek first the kingdom of God. That's what it teaches us. And that's the key to the happiness that God is giving us. The parable also teaches us that there are people around us that may not want to be happy, or who may seek what is contrary, but that should not stop us from seeking what is God's will. To put on the garment of love, Christ-like love. Every Eucharist, in one sense, is a prototype of that eternal feast. That's why we come to celebrate this Eucharist while we are on this earth. This replicates in one way what one day we anticipate in heaven. This is also a feast. And we all come here wearing the garment of Christ-like love. The Eucharist cannot be celebrated with hate. Simply cannot. Let us pray that today and in eternity, God may find us with the wedding garment, because that's the key to happiness. People of God said, amen.